Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on in our labels series. We're walking through the Gospel of Luke, and we were at the end of chapter 7 this week, looking at the story that Luke tells of Jesus being invited to a Pharisee's home, Simon, a guy by the name of Simon, who invites Jesus into his home for a banquet, for a dinner, and then comes in this uninvited guest. And it's a woman who apparently was known to have lived a sinful life. It doesn't tell us exactly what all that entailed, but she comes in and she's not invited. It's incredible, right? Her humility. She comes and she wipes the feet of Jesus with her tears and her hair, and she pours really expensive oil. Perfume on Jesus's feet and washes them with her hair and her tears. And I say humility. I mean, she comes in and does that to Christ, washes his feet, but also her boldness. I mean, she breaks a bunch of social rules here. She's not invited to this party in their culture. A woman coming into a group of men, a Pharisee's home. He's invited Jesus to be part of this. I mean, she's kind of crashing a party here, and she just walks right in with such boldness and yet such humility at the same time. And as she does this, you know, as the story goes, the Pharisee kind of thinks in his heart, oh man, if Jesus were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is, that she is a sinner. He wouldn't let her touch him and make him unclean. And Jesus turns to Simon and showing that who he is, that Christ, Luke keeps telling these stories to ultimately prove to us that Jesus really is the Son of God. And Jesus knows Simon's thoughts. He knows what he's thinking. And he says, Simon, I've got something to tell you. And he goes on to tell him a story of, you know, two people had a debt. One who had a huge debt, right? 500 denarii. That's denarius was a day's wage. And so more than a year's salary, like a year and a half worth salary worth of debt. And he says somebody else had 50, right? So 1/10 that amount. So somebody's got, you know, a debt and it's forgiven. And then he says somebody else had a debt. I mean, a year and a half salary worth of debt. And he says, and the master forgave both of them, canceled their debts because they couldn't pay. And he says, which one of them do you think will love him more? And Simon the Pharisee says, well, I suppose the one who had the larger debt forgiven. And Jesus says, you've answered correctly. And at that point in time, he's kind of got Simon, right? He says, Simon, do you see this woman? And sort of the rhetorical answer is, of course not, because he labeled her the moment she walked in. He doesn't see what she's doing. His heart isn't moved by the compassion and affection of this woman toward Christ. He's not brokenhearted over what he sees. He's not moved to tears or compassion for the love she has for Christ and the love Christ has for her. He just looks at her and sees, no, she's a sinner. She's not supposed to be here. She shouldn't be touching Jesus. If Jesus knew who she was, he wouldn't let her be touching him. It's the coldness of his heart. And Jesus says, really kind of indicts Simon. He says, Simon, since I came in, you haven't shown me the base amount of hospitality. You didn't give me a kiss when I came in, the customary greeting. You didn't give me any water for my feet, and you didn't do any of this. And he says, but she's done all of it. Since I walked in, she hasn't stopped kissing my feet and pouring oil. You didn't give me any oil for my head. She's pouring perfume on my feet, and she's washing my feet with her hair. And the point that Jesus gets to is, he says, she is, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. And he goes on to say that those who've been forgiven little, love little. And some people have taken the story and interpreted it to be, oh, it's our great love, it's her great love that results in the forgiveness of sins. But that's not what Jesus says. And he makes the connection when he says, those who have been forgiven little, love little. That's sequential there. The forgiveness leads to love. Understanding the true nature of our sin and its debt, the debt that we owed, and understanding the height of God's grace, the payment of Christ for sins at the cross, understanding what God gave, that he gave his son and the son gave his life to pay for our sin, understanding the gospel and that Jesus has washed us clean, that leads to great affection for Christ. That leads to seeing Christ for the treasure that he is, seeing I was dead, but now I live. I was under the curse of sin. Now I'm a son or daughter of God. I was a sinner, and I've been made a saint. And Jesus is saying, man, when you understand that and you understand forgiveness and the debt that you had, and you understand, man, here's the depth of my sin, but the height of God's grace, it leads to and it results in this type of affection. And he's saying to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Once again, it's showing us Jesus has the authority to forgive sins. He tells her her sins are forgiven. But he's also, I think, showing to this Pharisee, you know, he says, those who are forgiven little love little. And I don't think it means the Pharisee literally like, oh, he doesn't have much sin in his life. I think he's blinded by his sin and his pride. I think the point, it's much like when Jesus says, those who are sick are in need of a doctor. Those who are well are not in need of a doctor. But I don't think the Pharisees are actually well. I don't think they're righteous. When Jesus says, right, if you're righteous, you don't basically need me. I think it's more, you think you're righteous. You think that you've got a little debt. And so your heart reflects that. You don't think that you're really a sinner. You think, Simon, that you're a good person. You followed all the rules and you're basically righteous. And so what do you need a savior for? And it's reflective in your attitude. It's reflected by your attitude that you're sort of cold toward me, toward the savior. And so I think the point is, no, every one of us are sinners who have fallen short of the glory of God. And when we come to understand that, and we come to see the beauty of what Jesus has done, and we receive forgiveness into our lives, it results in an overflow. As God pours out his love and grace into our lives, it overflows into our love back for him. I want to pray for you, and then I want to encourage you just to take some time and reflect on that and pray for yourself. Heavenly Father, will you guard us from pride? Will you guard us, Father, from looking at our lives and falling into that trap of saying, man, I'm basically a good person. And, you know, maybe Jesus makes me a little better, but God, help us to understand all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that salvation is a gift from you that we receive by faith. And while it is free, freely offered and freely received, it cost you everything. It is, as I think Dietrich Bonhoeffer says it, costly grace. It cost you your son. And Jesus, it cost you your life. That was the weight of our debt. And you took it for us at the cross. And we thank you. May it overflow in our lives in love and affection for you and a desire to tell others. God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take some time now just to pray for yourself.